Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to the fourth round. I can't believe we were here for 4 years now on transforming emotions into energy. And energy and emotions have a very strong correlate in the body mind. Emotion literally translates, in its proper spelling, one might argue, to E, which is the abbreviation for energy in physics, dash motion. So emotion is meant to be nothing more than energy that moves you, that moves with you, that moves through you, that moves around. And if those emotions become stagnant in some way, shape, or form, then that's usually in part because we consider them to be personal in some way, shape, or form, or something else is going on likely. And as we talk about these emotions, we're actually going to spend one day on these next 5 days around the TCM, the traditional Chinese medicine model, of how emotions are meant to serve you, how emotions are meant to be fuel for you, how they're meant to support you. And when we're in right relation to them, ultimately have an avenue for healing. So as we dive into this terrain, what do I want to say about that all? First and foremost, take really good care of yourselves. So if there's ever anything that feels like a lot or too much to be with, know that you can always just take a few steps back from that all and keep yourself in good shape. And know that there will always be support at the end of these calls for anyone who needs any additional one-on-one things afterwards. So just feel free to hang out after the call. Okay? For those of you listening to the recording, feel free to let me know if you get on equally. Just feel free to send me a little email if you're looking for any additional support as you process everything. And in addition to that, I'm going to invite you to set up just a nice, comfy, cozy place where you can hang out with this material. The first bits of these calls, I'll be talking briefly about the emotion itself, and then we're going to dive into the session. And when we work with the session, I'll mostly be using body talk as my guide or my framework, so to speak. And I'll also be pulling in a number of different modalities, including some of the hats that I wear on the trauma-informed side of somatic-based modalities to supportively integrate all of this work together. You might even see a little bit of breath work pop in here, but we're going to mostly be focusing on the Chinese medicine understanding of the emotions and what they're meant to serve and how they're meant to be with us, and how we're meant to be with them. Yeah. So as we dive into today, we're going to be talking about fear, and then our schedule will carry over. Second day is anger, third day grief, fourth day worry, fifth day joy slash sadness. And on Saturday, on day number 6, there's going to be a bonus integration session. So for anyone who's looking for even more of that to come together and see how they intertwine, we're going to also be looking at some combination emotions. Combination emotions are different for everyone to a degree, and they're different combinations really of all those other ones that I've mentioned. And as they come together in different configurations for each of us, they might form, for example, things like shame, overwhelm, apathy, anxiety, guilt, to name a few of the more common ones. Okay. So as we settle in today talking about fear, fear in Chinese medicine is associated and governed in part by the element of water. And it's our water element that in part supports our capacity to work with our kidneys, our bladder, and their meridians. Now, I always think it's really interesting to talk about the healthy side of these things. Fear is ultimately meant to give rise to practical action and nothing more. So for example, you wouldn't step in front of a bus because of fear. That's a good practical use of fear. And if fear is showing up in any one of its other lenses, and it's got many, I'm going to try to keep my trauma-informed information not overriding all of this, otherwise we might be here for a few hours or days, really. And that could show up in the form of fight, flight, freeze, fawn, disorientation, That little look was me glaring at the big heavy trucks that are starting to roll by. I'm like, oh, the second I press record, we tend to get traffic here. So again, those spaces of fear in all of their varying forms can show up in a variety of different ways. So when I speak to fear, I'm going to be talking about it generally, but no, depending upon if it's in that fight, flight, freeze, fawn, which is another word for people-pleasing, or disorientation, keeping us relatively unsure of where we are in space, for example, or confused in a potentially different way than worry alone might give rise to, then you can start to sort of tailor the generalities into more individual expressions of that, depending upon that face of fear, so to speak. So as I talk about fear generally speaking, fear is one of those emotions that tends to carry lots of contraction, lots of, and as we contract, our energy goes right inward. Often enough, that can go with the sensation, the temperature of feeling quite cool. And from that Chinese medicine perspective, that coolness is meant to be there to a certain extent, but too much of anything is never all that supportive. So it's all about the right balance of these things. Excess, deficiency leads to all sorts of interesting symptoms, sets the stage for interesting diseases. And as we talk about more so of the general principles of the kidney and the bladder meridian, and know that those two are even different amongst themselves. The kidney is more yin, it's going to be a little bit more cool. The bladder is more yang, it's going to be a little bit more warm overall. Because the bladder is the yang, which is the active role. It likes to move with this sphere. It likes to be the one that takes that action in response to it. Then the kidney, in contrast, is more going to go inward to take a look at that fear. What's happening here? What is this all about? It's meant to give rise to the general awareness. And the two are meant to work together. Because imagine having all the awareness but not doing anything about it. Or, on the flip side, taking all the action but without awareness guiding it. Yeah, so when awareness and action become more balanced or more harmonious, they can support each other in giving rise to that practical action. Yeah. So if we were to talk about, even just before I go into more on the kidney and the bladder, just general associations with the water element, it is that fear energy that also gives rise to our capacity to have sexual energy. Who would have thought that water element works with both fear and the capacity to reproduce? Our reproduction is in part a survival response. It's a fear response. You're meant to propagate in order to keep your offspring carrying on, so that way your survival of your genes, your body mind, is ensured. So there's an interesting correlation in those realms. And if people have some stuff up in those areas of sensuality or sexuality, it can often lead to excessive distortions around fear and how it's moving through our system and how it is we relate to it. What else can I tell you about fear and the water element? It tends to set the stage for death and rebirth. Death and germination might be the more traditional wording in Chinese medicine. And as we die, which must be necessary, there's the invitation for surrender into spaciousness, which allows for creation of the new, or creation, reproduction, the new human being to spring to life and be born. And that comes in all sorts of interesting configurations and waves of how we pass on our genes through predominantly, one could argue, our kidney meridian, as it correlates to our ancestry. So our ancestral information is available through the line of the kidney. And there's a big point, kidney 24, hangs out roughly here in the center of the chest on the other side, that is often referred to as the spiritual burial grounds. In other words, it's the access point where we can often look at some of that ancestral energy. I tend to work with it a fair amount, I must say. And those ancestral spiritual burial grounds, bit of a tongue twister, can also, depending upon different views, Chinese medicine isn't always clean cut. There is the view that that actually goes all the way through the rib cage, and that rib cage in a form is protecting. It's protecting the legacy of all that you are meant to inherit. Now, the ancestral line might come with some challenges and might come with some wisdom. And if we're locked up in fear, it's tough to find our way through the challenges that come with that. And it's also equally challenging to touch into the blessings, the wisdom, the information that's meant to be supportive to our capacity to be here and do our very best, not just in survival mode, but also to thrive. The processing center of the kidneys and the bladder to a degree, but mostly the kidneys is what we think of, is the ear. And the ear even looks like a little bit of a kidney shape in a way, if we can use our imagination just a little bit. And when we work within these realms, often enough, we'll end up linking into the senses. In fact, at the end of these 5 days, you'll have the opportunity to sign up for something called Buddhas and Butterflies. And Buddhas and Butterflies is an ongoing weekly program offering where we work with a variety of, just like we're doing today, emotions, fear, anger, grief, worry, joy, sadness, and all those other combination emotions that I mentioned earlier. And within that, we're working through a different structure. Each couple of months, we have a different focal point. So for example, last year, we have just finished up our sensuality, our senses, and we went through all the different 5/6 senses. I included the sense of insight, intuition as are the sixth sense. And we just made our way through to look at where and how we were relating and how that was showing up in our individual expressions with each of those emotions and how we might be limiting ourselves or maybe even just bracing ourselves against really being able to take in the beauty, the joy of life through those six senses. This year, we're actually going to dive into what's referred to as the 8 extra meridians. And I bring that in part today because when we work with fear, kidney, bladder, it's really not uncommon to also bring in one of those extra meridians called the governing vessel meridian. So we might see that show up today as well. The governing vessel meridian governs our primary masculine nature, and it goes right up the midline of our back body and circles all the way down through the front where it goes a little bit more interior. And in part, it's meant for protection, and it does a lot of things. I'm not going to talk too much about it today, because we're actually focusing more on the kidney and the bladder side of things today. So on that note, we've talked briefly about the kidneys being yin or feminine, the bladders being yang or masculine. And in addition to that, as we tie that information into the houses, the astrological houses, the kidney meridian naturally hangs out in the 8th house, and the 8th house is associated with the sign of Scorpio, works with the planetary energies of Mars and of Pluto. So if anyone's really into astrology, you might already begin to put the pieces together of, you know, the energy of the kidneys and what they do for us. Scorpio has a tendency to carry bit of a sting at times, and within that it actually also is a necessary thing because it's meant to give us our energy, not just to sting things, but to have willpower and to circulate our energy. The gifts of the planetary energies that are associated with that, Mars and Pluto, is to keep things going. Mars is very much about drive, which we need if we're going to support that natural cycle of the kidneys, death, rebirth. Tough to do that without some solid drive and some penetrating, intense Scorpio energy to support that. also goes with that, the planetary energy of Pluto. And Pluto works with collective power. It can also, in its unhealthy forms, be the manipulation, abuse of that power. But when it's used in healthy ways, it's meant to give rise to our capacity to be in power in our collective ways, in our society. Can also carry a little bit of energy of sacrifice to it, which helps that death to be supportive to set the stage for rebirth. And on that other side, regeneration can begin. Now, in case the word death has thrown anybody, as I mentioned it a few times, imagine your cells multiplying repeatedly all the time throughout your day. And if we never actually had the opportunity for something to fall away, to surrender, to die, then our cells would just keep multiplying, 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 multiplying. And they would just be in this creative birth state, which sounds not like such a bad idea, except for the fact that now we've got all this extra material floating around. And if nothing fades away, it's hard to create room for the new. And in fact, that whole thing that I've just described is the process of cancer. Cancer cells, when they form tumors, have just simply forgotten how to die. Cancer cells that are healthy, and yes, there is such a thing, are meant to be phagocytic, meaning they clean up our debris. They are meant to whoosh, clean house for us. If, however, that cancer energy has, again, the cells have forgotten apoptosis or how to die, then they continue to multiply and then they form tumors, which then we call cancer. Interesting, I think. So when we are in the energy of that eighth house, that death, rebirth, regeneration also works with how it is we're interrelating internally, externally alike. Yeah, very indeed. And then the bladder meridian, as we turn our attention to this, it's actually associated with the seventh house, which is the house of Libra. Hi, that's me. And it works with the planetary energy of Venus, which is very much about finding harmony and balance. And the bladder meridian, as it works with the seventh house, is all about partnerships, relationships. And the big thing about the bladder meridian that I think goes unnoticed by a lot of folks is how much it is meant to regulate your nervous system. Sometimes the kidney meridian steals the show in that regard, steals all the thunder. And although the kidney does a wonderful job of supporting regulating of our nervous system and addressing all those faces of fear, however it's showing up with trauma or without. And the bladder meridian is, again, that sort of unsung hero. It's actually the one that's going to give rise to that action component to supportively regulate that nervous system. So in a way, it actually is the integrator. In case you're curious where these things are, I'll briefly outline them. The bladder meridian actually starts in the inner corner of your eye, and then it goes whoop down, circles the back of your head, and then it comes in pretty close to the central line of your body, either side of the spine. It's going to run down your erector spinae muscles. And here is often where we carry our sense of personality, our character can be stored right in these arena. So how it is we literally hold ourselves and our posture can give rise to our sense of self. If that's collapsing all the time, then maybe something in our life is collapsing, or maybe we're just carrying a heavy weight. It's something within us, within that kidney meridian, maybe there's some depression in it, that's leading to that sensation of wanting to collapse, being hard to hold oneself up, for example. That bladder meridian keeps going all the way down, circles the buttocks, center of vitality, and then it goes down the legs to the outside edge of the foot. So if you've ever seen this happens all the time in little ones, or maybe you as an adult have a tendency to do it, where they roll on their edges of their feet. That's often a sign of like, I'm not so sure. And there's often a sign of something to do with the realm of fear taking place here. The kidney meridian, in contrast, starts with, I should say, the bottom of the soles of the feet. So it's actually going to start at the other end of the body. And it hangs out roughly in the center, forgive my socks, and of the sole of the foot, that kidney meridian. Then traverses up through roughly the core of the body. It governs the low back. Anybody with that low back issue, especially right around where it joins onto the sacrum, is likely dealing with some kidney stuff, And then it carries on through, and it actually goes quite internally deep, and it gives rise to our head brain. The head brain is thought to be the flower of the kidneys. This is meant to be the blossoming, the flower of your kidneys. I always really like the poetry of Chinese medicine. And as we work with both kidney and bladder together, they tend to overall not just regulate the nervous system, as you've heard me speak to, but they also work with, in general, our fluids and our bones. These bones carry information from your ancestral lines. How far back that goes is a bit of a debate. Scientifically, they've proven 5. Commonly, we see 7 come up in these realms. And I've definitely seen quite a bit further out than that. I've seen, into the 10s and the 20s generations back as we work with the very holdings of all that have come before you that are locked into the bones in terms of their experiences of both their challenges and their wisdom. It's all here. So for example, even if you yourself aren't terribly religious, let's say, but a few generations ago, there was a lot of religiousness. There might be some interesting clashes happening there that might lead to a set of challenges. You might not be able to figure out why there's these propensities showing up in different ways or triggers in different ways to pieces of information that are all just a bit of a clash or a mismatch from your sensibility compared to the ancestral energy contained within it. That's especially true if there was challenges. So if that ancestor was struggling in a religious way, for example, sorting out their relationship to God, Buddha, Allah, universe, love and light, divine energy, pick your word for that which is eternal, then that might show up in your system in some way, shape, or form. Can also show up in particular in that ribcage area. Especially when we talk about kidney and bladder, I tend to see a lot of extra protection around the ribcage. What else to share with you? There are a variety of different muscles that tend to go with these guys. And in part, the iliopsoas is the big one. So that iliopsoas connects our low back and our hip. And you know when you have iliopsoas tightness because it's really hard to actually just sit upright. There's also a collapsing of that when it gets tight. It gets tight when we sit a lot. So those of us who drive a lot, or in the office a lot, or just leave sedentary lifestyles might be prone to more iliopsoas tightness. The iliopsoas muscle is thought to be like the muscle of the soul in a way, because when things are finally on the way out, when things are finally coming to a conclusion and ending, often the very last place that needs to release from is that iliopsoas muscle. So that's probably the big one, along with the erector spinae, also called the sacrospinalis, in case you are more familiar with that terminology. Having said that, though, there's a few other places where these can show up. The upper trap is not an uncommon one. It's often why we store a lot of tension in our shoulders. So the upper traps and the calf muscles. So the anterior, posterior, tip, perineals, alike. Those are all fancy words. We can just sum those up as calf muscles. Tend to also be an area where fear hangs out in a way that's actually meant to support your system as long as it's healthy. So these legs, these calf muscles, are meant to propel you, for example. Your upper traps are meant in part to support healthy fight energy when and as it arises. Our spine, obviously, gives rise to all sorts of different movements, whether that's fight, flight, or just hold everything in, go really still, which is that classic freeze response. And it's interesting. Sometimes when we are looking at fear, people will mistake it for anger, in part because they just want something to move, or because that fight energy is so strong, they're looking and confusing what's there as a response to fear, because anger might be more comfortable for people to hang out in. Yeah. Maybe that's just a me thing. Maybe that's a you thing too. Check it out and see for yourselves. All right, I feel like I've been talking for a little bit, and as I look at the time, that does indeed seem true. So I'm gonna switch gears, and we're gonna go into a session, a little mini session, so to speak. We probably won't take a full hour, but we'll take probably 30, 40 minutes or so. So as you settle on in, feel free to make any micro movements. Oh, I got validated by somebody in the chat feature. They know that one too. Thanks. I'm glad I'm not alone on that one. And as you settle in, making yourselves even 1% more comfortable. I invite you to settle in even more so by means now of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive, to connect to inspiration, literally and figuratively. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. Let go. Make space. And this breath starts to cycle in a way that mimics that death birth cycle. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in the new. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant or the very least neutral, taking a moment to soak that in and receive it as the nourishment that it very well may be. And on that note, I'll invite you to also scan either externally in your space, looking all around, or if you're comfortable, going internally and scanning inside of you, looking for anything, whether you're external or internal, that's pleasant or the very least neutral. And when you land on that thing, that part of you, wherever you may be, the invitation is to notice what it is you like the most about this thing. Perhaps it's the shape, the color, the way that the light and the shadow play. Whatever it is that you're appreciating about it, I invite you to take that into your attention just a little bit more, allowing yourself to really soak this in and enjoy this. as you savor this nourishment, breath by breath. Invitation to notice the impacts what comes with taking this few moments to be with that for you. And as you notice that, if it's pleasant, or at the very least neutral, taking a moment to savor this nourishment as well. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being you. And the biggest of thank yous to all that's gone in to setting the stage for this moment of connection and being together here as an individual, as a part of this group. Thank you to your families that have given rise to you. And thank you to all that have come before, the ancestors, the lineages, and the biggest of gratitudes to those that have caretaken and stewarded the land that's nourished you and yours, that's given the opportunity for life to be here in these ways. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace. Peace. And in this place, I invite you to scan your body one more time. This time, looking for anything that might not feel quite as comfy cozy. If there's anything strongly catching your attention that you feel drawn to mention in the chat feature, you're welcome to do so. Knowing as well that as we go into session, if at any time things become a little too much, too loud, too overwhelming, you can always make your way back to this place. Really tough to, you know, heal when we're in the middle of something big that's triggering us. So as you take good care of yourself, know that this resource is here for you. And as we start today's session off, we're actually going into the astrological house, house number 12, house of endings, releasing, letting go, surrendering, allowing, even the house of peeling back the layers of who it is, me or not. And as we work within this house, this is actually, interestingly enough, the house of the liver meridian, which helps to release old karmic patterns. And we're linking that directly into the kidney line, that ancestral spiritual burial ground where I was mentioning earlier, stores all of that stuff going back many generations. And as we work with the 12th house energy and link it in this way, supporting the release of any old karmic patterns that are no longer serving you, your family, your ancestral lines, particularly as it relates to the energy of freezing, the energy of, well, one of those spaces of fear, really, that tells us to hold still and don't move. I often see this when I'm walking my dogs. I see little critters that, you know, have popped up out of their hole, whether it's a gopher or a rabbit or something like that, usually a gopher. The rabbits are pretty adept at running away. But the gopher, the bird, on occasion, even that's injured on the ground, if the dogs get too close, they will just start to freeze and not move at all. So in that same way, there's these old karmic patterns of it's better to hold still than to take action. Just hold still to stay safe. And as we release that particular karmic pattern through the kidney meridian, the spiritual burial ground line, we're going to then run what's referred to as a hydration and body talk. As I grab my water. Hydration helps us to take in water, joy, and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. And in a way, I often think of it as supporting the capacity to go with the flow a little bit more. And as that moves through the kidney, it's actually going to go through the entire kidney meridian as a whole, including the kidney organ. And our organs are just the densest manifestation of that meridian line. We're linking that all into house number 8. That house of the kidney, that house of death, rebirth, and regeneration. In essence, what can be here without that pattern of freeze in that way? And as it makes just a little bit of space to potentially even be there with this in a different way. In that 8th house, we also need to run what's referred to as a cell repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. Again, as it relates to the fear response. And that's actually in particular in the shell of the kidney, the capsule. The renal capsule is the official term. And it's basically the perimeter of the kidney. And as we help to restore the cells here, bringing in circulation now, not just for the shell, not just the capsule, but the whole organ itself, including blood that carries our passion, nerve, our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Also working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, that lower anxiety, depression, that help out our nervous and our immune system. A light to heal. Sometimes endocannabinoids is a new term for a lot of people, even in health and healthcare. We don't talk about it. It's not in the anatomy books. I have an anatomy degree. I didn't hear about it until, 7, 8 years ago. And it's the system that they discovered in the 90s, actually, as, maybe rediscovered is a better term. It carries receptor sites for endogenous or internally produced cannabinoids. An example of an external exogenous cannabinoid might be something like CBD oil or THC. So anything that the hemp plant produces, or you can find really healthy cannabinoids, for example, like in black pepper or a variety of other things, if it's still in our food supply. And it's been limited and diminished quite substantially from those sources. So the cannabinoid system doesn't always get the attention, but I digress on the cannabinoid system. And as we work with the circulation of cannabinoids and hydration, again, helping cells to absorb water and joy, releasing any impurities that don't need to be here, also balancing the overall yin and yang. Now the kidneys, yes, are overall yin, but everything has a balance of yin and yang within it. So as we just make sure that the kidneys have enough yang present and enough yin present, we're in particular working with a pattern here of yin deficiency within the kidneys, which is such a common thing. And with it goes a whole variety of symptoms. Some of us might have multiple symptoms of it. Some of us might just have like one or two on a really minor scale. So I'll read off the list. No matter if you have one or two or all of them, know that they all are related to this one pattern, just this one thing. You don't actually have 25 things wrong with you. You just have one thing, in case that's reassuring. The yin deficiency can show up as a tendency for dizziness or vertigo, that ringing in the ears, the tinnitus, having a poor memory, being deaf, or having lost your hearing from whatever reasons, and can also work with or go with night sweats, dry mouth, having a tendency for the hands and the feet to be a particular way. Often that's hot, but it might show up as swelling. And could also be things like constipation, having urine that's quite dark, so that's not a hydrated urine. And also with this, things like a sore back, afternoon fevers, a tendency for the mind to drive you to overwork. Chronic illnesses also show up as a symptom here. And excessive sexual activity can be here, along with fear, obviously. Mental restlessness and anxiety can go all the way up to paranoia. So when we talk about fear, even though I'm really just pointing out one expression of that word, it actually exists on a continuum. A little bit of fear and a lot of fear might be all present within that. But on that more severe end, panic, paranoia, on the more mild end, there's just something that's maybe a little bit scary. Yeah, something you're not so certain about. Maybe some uncertainty. I know that's an overused word at this point in our time and our history, but it's a good word that fits with this spectrum. So as we work with this pattern of kidney yin deficiency, and all of those symptoms are just that, just this one thing, we're actually looking at a series of active memories of times in which the ancestors, we're actually going to go back 12 generations for this one, didn't have the resources they needed to fare quite well. So there wasn't enough food, not enough water, but that was healthy to drink. So almost like a famine type of energy to this, and the sense of being depleted or lacking in some way, shape, or form. And it set the mindset, or set the stage for the mindset to develop, that lack consciousness, that scarcity is a common thing, or should be a common thing. And through those generations, it may show up not so much in famine or drought right now for you. It might show up more in the sense of, I don't know how to make the money that I want to get to XYZ, whatever that may be, to set the stage for healthy food, healthy shelter, a home to be in, or even just healthy actions to take that are supportive for your healing, for your expression of you. So as we work with this and release that from the family lines, we're also unhooking through the left brain, our masculine brain, this idea that nourishment is hard to come by, whether that be in the form of food, whether that be in the form of what feels good for you, whether that be in the form of earning a living. That it's hard to come by. And as we release that from the left brain, it's most notably coming off of the part of the left brain that rests heavily on the sphenoid bone. The sphenoid bone becomes external at the temples, but goes all the way through in a way, creates almost like a shelf for the brain to sit on. And the shell, it almost looks like a bat or a butterfly. And in its uniqueness, it actually has a multitude of capacities to connect. And it does just that. It actually connects to every single skull bone that there is. So it's often referred to as the master bone. And through here, we actually need to release on all the different connection points of that sphenoid bone, that connection is somehow dangerous. So it's better just to like hold still and freeze in place. So as we release that belief system or that way of thinking from potentially the subconscious mind, for some of you might also be conscious, that connection is dangerous. Releasing it through all the different joint spaces where that sphenoid bone connects to all the other skull bones, and in those spaces, bringing in one more round of circulation of all those healing resources that we worked with earlier, the blood, the nerve, the lymph, all the way through to hydration. And the hydration brings in joy as well as movements. And when anything's ever really super frozen, or just a little frozen, a little movement can be all that needs. So even if we have, like, for instance, like a chronically frozen part of our body, I'm not saying that this is the cure-all, there's a lot going on when that happens, One of the things that we can do to support that is even just teeny movements through the fingertips. And then that might open up a little bit of space for something else to begin to move. So in essence, this hydration is carrying that energy of invitation for things to flow, to move in a way that doesn't have to contain that energy, that things are scarce. Better to hold still and conserve our calories and not take any action. And although at one point in time that would have been very wise to survive 12 generations ago, life's a little different now. Things get to be a little different now. And as we release that, I'm hearing the kids playing quite loudly across the playground. It's wonderful to hear. There's lots of movements and laughter and joy coming in. And as we work with that, it's actually bringing attention right into the very midline of the brain now. And we're looking at connection becoming safer in a way that allows all those midline components between the left and the right to not just connect, but provide that healthy balance, as I was referring to earlier, of awareness and action. So it's often our left brain that loves to give rise eventually to action, and our right brain eventually to awareness. And as these two support, all the midline structures are meant to, well, deliver that information to the entire body mind in a way, in a manner of thinking, excuse me. Lots of talking lately, forgive me. And these midline structures most notably are working with the corpus callosum that helps to bring both of those energies together. And it also works with we're going to connect into the ears in just a moment. It also works with the intrathalamic adhesion, which connects the thalamus, a part of our limbic, our emotional brain, that is the place where really no information can get into the rest of our brain without going through here. There is an exception to that, the sense of smell, but for the most part, that holds true. And also in those midline structures, it's going to work with the septal region, the center of bliss and well-being, incidentally, the center of orgasm as well. Fun fact, women, females, have four more nuclei, or not four more, they have four nuclei. Men only have one that hangs out in the septal region in the part that gives rise to orgasm. Just extra information for fun. And as we work with these midline structures and we link them to the ears, we're going all the way through the ear canal into the ear bones, the stapes, incus, and malleus, which give rise to sound and the capacity to literally hear your truth. Hear yourself think. Hear your mental clarity. And if that feels like it's kind of fuzzy, like it's going through, you know, those old school TVs with the rabbit ears that were not quite well adjusted, we're actually going to run what's referred to as the vivaxis, which in body talk helps to adjust your inner rabbit ears to give rise to more clarity and perception, reception. And not in a way where you have to, like, you know, hold, you know, your balance on one leg, if you ever had to do that as a kid to get, you know, your show to watch. I kind of did anything to watch the Cosby Show when I was little. But, yeah. So whether that involved tinfoil or balancing acts galore, it was worth it. And Fraggle Rock was also a big one, but I digress. Now I'm going through the nostalgia of youth, of childhood. And as we work with the balancing into the ear bones, the bones, as we mentioned, carry, again, ancestral energy. So it's actually connecting into how the ancestors knew how to listen, whether that was listening to each other, whether that was listening to that which is eternal, pick your name, whether that was listening to the guidance of their ancestors that came before them, through connection to these bones, giving rise in a time where there was much less information. These days, in one day, we are exposed to more information than 12 generations ago would have experienced in an entire lifetime. So they knew how to listen in a way that was simple and could invoke simplicity. Whereas often some of our challenges in modern day life come because there's too much, it's overwhelming. So this, in a way, is an invitation to listen to the simplicity of life again. Whether that's internal, external, perhaps there isn't a difference. And as we do that, it's all linking into the sixth house in astrology, which works with the house of practical reassessment and being in service to our health, to our bodies, to our minds. We're going to tap this part in. If you feel called to, you're welcome to join in the tapping, and it's certainly not required by any means. Invitation to breathe, however the body mind feels called to. Invitation to breathe and receive. Okay, and now we're heading into the bladder meridian, and as we work with the bladder meridian, it's actually storing some energy as it classically does, of being pissed off. It often works with not just fear, but a little bit of anger to combine that pissed off energy. Pissed off is one of the combo emotions, and that pissed off energy is hanging out mostly in the neck portion. Through the bladder meridian, where it runs just on either side of the spine, but it's also bleeding out into the upper traps some. And it's got that tone of like, not just pissed off, but like, I have a right. So it's got some like righteous indignation. And with it carrying no small amount of victimhood. So with this can go, the social justice warrior energy. Also, really strong, heavy, like conspiracy. I gotta make this right. I gotta let everybody know about these things. Or a frustrated preacher energy, basically. So if you happen to fall into any one of those categories, or perhaps all three. Or it might play out in a more minor, subtle way, a less obvious way than that. As we begin to notice this righteous indignation behind the pissed off, I actually see it also hooking into, there's a muscle called the splenus capitis. It's one of the deeper neck muscles, anchors into the C7 region, all the way up into the back of the skull, and then connected to that is the longus capitis, which is another one of those deeper neck muscles. It works just a little bit higher up around like T3, 4, 5, maybe, or C3, 4, 5, maybe 6 as well. And again, all the way into the back of the skull. And as we work with these muscles, as they work through this neutral line where the skull joins the spine there, support a couple of things. And one of the things that they work with is regulation of nervous system energy, along with your connection to source, spirit, God, whatever that may be, whatever that word is again. And this is also an area that commonly acts up after you're born. It's often an area where birth trauma can get lodged. And that can happen in multiple places, but it's just one of the areas where I tend to commonly see it. So as we work with this region in all of those roles and capacities, we're actually unwinding a fair amount of adhesed tissue through those muscles and where they're inserting into that area where that skull joins the spine. And it's across bilateral left and right. And as we work with that, in the very center is roughly the brainstem, a portion of the brainstem. And just before it joins onto the spinal column. And as we work within the brainstem region in here, bringing in the energy of the sun, the planetary energy of the sun, to bring in new life, new warmth, new possibilities. And imagine what it perhaps may have been like to be greeted when you were born with the warmest welcome ever. What would it be like to be welcomed into your life, into this world, with the warmth of the sun behind anyone welcoming you? And perhaps an energy of the sun carries the exact same energy of that which is eternal in a way. And as it connects with the warmth of that welcome, including not just by humans, but by that which is eternal, their permission statement is, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. And there's a second related one. You're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be right here. And that's thinking all into house number 12 to release any bits of grief and sadness around potentially not feeling welcomed or like you're supposed to be here. And then we're linking that into the area just below the navel, the umbilicus region, which also works with the energy of I belong. I belong right here. And we're linking that into house number 1, house of beginnings, new starts, rebirth, birth. How is it this body and mind are meant to work well together? And perhaps there isn't a difference between your body and your mind. Perhaps they're one and the same. And perhaps when we're first born, we're in that state of connection already. And perhaps this journey through adulthood is nothing more than the cultivation of the return to that deep, deep connection between body and mind. And as we work with this, melding together the body and the mind, perhaps just 1% more. And as they come into connection in these ways, I see that pissed off energy begin to melt and flow and release, no longer trapped in its ways, no longer pissed off to be here in this way, in this alignment. And at the same time, linking the soles of your feet through that kidney 1 point to the earth, to the frequency of the earth, known as the Schumann resonance, and the very vibration, pulsation of the earth as it enters through kidney 1, through the sole of your foot, the sole perhaps of your being in a way, metaphorically speaking, perhaps it's not a metaphor at all, as that enters, rises through the kidney meridian to give rise to your head brain. And as we connect the energy of earth into your brain, inviting in what it's designed to be in connection to, your presence. And as it comes through the earth, maternal presence of love. What is it to be held from the inside out with the energy of nurturing, nourishing, loving presence? And as that energy makes its way through the kidney meridian, all the way up, and then enters through the bladder 1 point and comes all the way down. And as it circles through the kidney and the bladder meridian, I see the sacrum begin to soften and melt just a little bit along with that low spine, pardon me, that low back, that lumbar spine. And as L5 and S1 find this new relationship, that low back sacrum connection, I see it as allowing the sit bones to, if you were sitting, to melt into the earth in a way that actually effortlessly supports the spinal alignment and the flow of qi through those kidney and bladder meridians alike. And we're going to tap this part in here. Invitation to breathe however feels right for you. And as we tap, I didn't mention this earlier, but we tend to tap over all three brains, head brain, gut brain, or the enteric nervous system. And then the heart brain to give rise to that harmony, that connection. In a way, we can also refer to tapping over the head brain as the drawing attention to the brain to notice, to fix, to bring into connection, balance, synchronicity, communication, what may have been missing. When we tap over the gut brain, it's much an invitation to embody these changes. So you don't have to take 5 steps forward, 4 steps back. And then as we tap over the heart brain, saving this information. Much like when we save a file on our computer. And as we save it, also tapping into harmony. The heart energy field is 60 to 100 times bigger than any other energy field. There's something special about the heart. How many cases of heart cancer have you heard about? I'm betting on a lot. So as we, it's possible, but it's super rare. It's like unicorn rare. That's my rating system. Horses, zebras, unicorns. So horses quite common, zebras less so in this part of the world anyways. And then the unicorn. So it's more on the unicorn side-ish of anything. And as we work with this heart, we're actually going to link it through to the kidney, the bladder, and the water element alike to bring that harmony, to bring that balance of yin and yang. And at the same time, from the outside edge of the foot, that bladder meridian, releasing a little bit of tension, old patterns of having to stand on guard, be on guard. In particular, as it related to the years of life of earlier childhood states, 0 to 9 in particular. And as you may have been standing on guard, holding your ground, freezing, it also set the stage for a little bit of disorientation. If we hold still for long enough and everything else moves around us, we might not be able to take the changes in a way that we can then become aware of what's changed. A little like if you haven't been to a city in a while and you roll in and you're like, what's happening here? Holy smokes, they're doing all this construction. That store's gone. This one's here. But if we're frozen, we're not able to take in those changes that are happening around us. So as we release the tension, the adhesed tissue through the feet's invitation to even just give your pinky toes just a little bit of movement. It's hard to isolate just your pinky toes, so feel free to wiggle along all of your toes. For those of you that can't isolate your pinky toes, I want to see it. Super cool when that can happen. And as that moves through the outside edge of the foot, there might even be a little bit of movement that flows into that outer edge of the foot. And then we're just simply running the permissions. It's safe to play again. It's safe to play again. Safe to play in life, relationships, work, wherever that may be, lacking just a little bit in your life. It's safe to play again. And imagine, much like the playfulness of the little children's feet that I was witnessing outside my window earlier, that these feet can, as they become alive, invite in even more of that play. And they might even begin in this moment to play, depending upon where they are on the earth, with the earth, with the grounds, with the energy of Mum Earth. Invitation to again breathe and receive and drink in this energy. a playfulness. And as it calls you alive, linking it through to the kidney and the bladder meridians alike, and allowing them to play. So the practical action of play, which is indeed a practical thing, the easiest way to learn anything is through play, as they've shown us, gives rise to maybe even the capacity for this head brain to think a little differently, for things to be carried potentially just a little lighter than they may have been for a while. And we're going to tap that all out here. Again, invitation to breathe and receive. Breathing however the body mind feels called to in this moment. Yeah. If it feels right, you can just wiggle, wobble your toes and your feet playfully, imagining play. Imagining what it might be like to give yourself permission to have even just 1% more play in your life. And as that settles, if you feel called to continue to breathe with your feet in the earth, feel free to do so. If you like, you're welcome to even return to where we started, that resource, whether it was external or inside of you, internal. And as we bring this in for a nice, soft landing, I'm going to offer a little song, an integration song. And the song is called This Is to Mother You. It's by Jennifer Berezan. It's one of my all-time favorites. I believe that Sinead O'Connor also did a cover for it. Or perhaps it was one or the other who began it. I don't actually know. But I know I like this variation a lot. So I'm so happy I get to share it with you. And just before I press play, I'd love to offer my gratitude and thank you for being here and for calling this medicine in. I look forward to the rest of the time together that we have in our series and our sessions. And the recordings will be on the course page for lifetime access. Feel free to share this if you feel called with anyone that might be interested. That can be, you know, through a social media post, a in-person conversation. We still have those, right? Or any other way that calls to you. And my deepest of thanks in advance for that. And as we settle in to hear this song, feel free to also make any micro adjustments on your ends. Invitation to breathe right here, as you are.
This is to mother you, to comfort you and get you through. Through when your nights are lonely, through when your dreams are only blue. This is to mother you. This is to be with you, to hold you and to kiss you too. For when you need me, I will do what your own mother didn't do, which is to mother you.
All the wrong things you have done.
Thank you all again for being here, and I'm so happy to hang out afterwards with anyone if they need any additional one-on-one support. And as I just wrap up the recording just before that, I know that it will be continuing on, as I mentioned, this week at 10 a.m. And then that sixth day actually is at a different time. The last day on the Saturday is in the evening. It's at 6:30, and those times are all in Mountain Time, MDT time zone, in Calgary, Alberta, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan time zone. Okay. So I'm gonna sign off and mwah, 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 send you guys all the love. Let me know how you get on with this all, and I look forward to our paths crossing again. Bye for now.